I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. In the past several months, the United States has seen a rise in mysterious respiratory illnesses. The patients, most of them teens or young adults, report symptoms like coughing, shortness of breath, and chest pain. And in some cases, they've wound up hospitalized on oxygen support. At least two people have died. Since late June, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported more than 200 cases of severe lung disease across the country. And there's at least one thing that most of these cases have in common. The patients reported vaping marijuana. Meanwhile, government regulations have mainly focused on preventing access to nicotine products. Earlier this summer, San Francisco officials approved a ban of nearly all e-cigarette sales in their city. And this week, Michigan became the first state to ban the sale of flavored e-cigarettes.
It is a public health crisis that we're confronting. Kids are inhaling an addictive substance, nicotine. They are inhaling it with a chemical, cocktail, including things like formaldehyde.
That was Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Today on The Takeaway, what we actually know and what we don't know about the impacts of vaping on the body. Michael Siegel is a physician and public health researcher at Boston University School of Public Health. And Sarah Overmall is a drug and tobacco policy reporter at Politico. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Michael, let's start with you. We just outlined some of the incidents that we've heard about with this mysterious lung disease. What do we know, at least from your perspective as a physician, about the link between vaping and these lung diseases?
Well, we know for sure that all of these diseases are related to vaping in some way. But the other thing that's important that we know that I don't think a lot of people realize is that most of these cases are related specifically to the vaping of marijuana, not nicotine-containing e-liquids, which are traditionally used when we talk about e-cigarettes. This is what most people think of. What's happening here is that most of these cases are linked to young people using illicit marijuana that they're buying off the street. And basically, it comes in the format of THC oils that have solvents in them and are incredibly dangerous because of the contaminants that can get in there. They're not regulated products. They're not tested. And so that's what the problem is. What we really have is a problem of vaping marijuana, not vaping nicotine. And that seems to be the most important thing that is being lost here in the conversation.
So, Michael, what is it about the vaping of marijuana itself that's causing these lung diseases so far? At least we know that there's a tenuous link to that. And why is it that you're not seeing the same incidences with nicotine products, for example?
Well, there's a number of reasons for that. But I think the main reason is that the marijuana products that youth are using are purchased off the street, literally, essentially from drug dealers. And they're not regulated, and we have no idea what's in them. These are basically products that are made by illicit manufacturers without any regulations, without any testing. There's a large number of possibilities for what's causing it. We don't know exactly because the testing of the e-liquids hasn't been completed yet. But there's one possibility is that could it be the solvents that are used. Often butane is used, and a lot of youth are using butane hash oil to get their THC for vaping. And butane is definitely a respiratory toxin. There's also pesticides in these products that could cause respiratory disease. Unlike products from medical dispensaries, they're not tested for pesticides. And also the oil itself is toxic to the lung, and inhaling it can actually coat the lungs with oil and it essentially stop the lungs from working. And we know that in some of the cases, that's exactly what is happening. So the reason why e-cigarettes don't cause this, at least the nicotine-containing ones, is that they're all alcohol-based and they're all made by retailers that have been, manufacturing these products for years, and we haven't seen any problem with them.
Sarah, I want to bring you in here because we're hearing Michael explain sort of the difference here between the impact of vaping marijuana oil versus vaping nicotine-based e-cigarettes. And public health officials have connected, as Michael was suggesting, some of the products bought on the black market. We just know the most recent case, I think, is this one in Oregon, where it was said that the person who died used a THC vaping product purchased at one of their state's legal dispensaries. Sarah, what do you think that case is going to do in terms of more scrutiny on the recreational marijuana sale industry?
That case really does change the game because, like Michael was just saying, a lot of these have been bought off of the street, but this was supposed to be something that, because that person went to a dispensary, there was some level of assurance around its safety. And so I think it does really put scrutiny onto the recreational marijuana industry in a lot of these states that have had it for a while. Oregon is supposed to be one that is better regulated. But the problem is the federal government still hasn't recognized marijuana as a drug with any medical value. It's in the most restricted drug class still, along with heroin and LSD. So it's not as though the federal government can start putting out regulations about this now and saying, here's how to better regulate marijuana. Right now, the FDA's hands are tied. They can't even really say what type of THC products could be safe or not, because they don't even really recognize it as a product that's legal at this moment.
I mean, the black market has always been an issue when it comes to marijuana. We're seeing more and more dispensaries opening up across the country because of the boom in marijuana products. Is this going to prompt state and federal officials to try and crack down more, not just on the legal marijuana sale market, but also on the black market?
I think that it will. And like Michael had said earlier, there are a lot of theories about hash oil being what is the irritant here, but also the fact that pesticides could be a factor in that. And there have been some seizures by state officials of THC oils or marijuana product that has this dangerous pesticide in it, but they can't monitor everything. A lot of farmers will sell bad product onto the black market because they know that it is spoiled in some way. So it is going to be very hard to regulate. It's going to be one thing that I think these states that have had recreational marijuana legalized for a few years now are going to have to deal with first. States like Oregon, Colorado, and California that are really at the forefront of this.
Michael, from your perspective, I mean, does this essentially let nicotine vaping products or e-cigarettes that are, as you mentioned, alcohol-based and that that have nicotine versus THC marijuana in them, does this essentially let those off the hook in terms of any health adverse side effects here?
Well, no, it doesn't let them off the hook. It's just that they don't appear to be causing this acute respiratory outbreak that we're seeing. There's still a concern with regular nicotine vaping products for the possibility of long-term consequences in terms of heart disease and lung disease. We know that these electronic cigarettes do cause at least acute irritation of the respiratory tract, and they do cause some acute damage to blood vessels. What we don't know is whether, if somebody vapes for a long time, for many, many years or decades, if that acute injury would eventually add up to causing chronic heart or lung disease. And that's a difficult call because we're not really going to know that for quite some time. It takes 20, 30 years, even more, for those diseases to develop. And since vaping is only, or e-cigarettes have only been on the market for, you know, about 10 years, we're really not going to have that answer for quite some time.
Just this week, Michigan announced that it would ban the sale of flavored e-cigarettes, which is now the first state in the United States to do so. What do we know about their plan, and what was behind this decision to ban the sale of flavored e-cigarettes?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that Governor Whitmer used this recent rash of vaping illnesses as the impetus to do this ban. She did a 6-month ban, which she is allowed to do in Michigan state law. She can extend that for another 6 months when she gets to the end of it. If she wants it to be permanent, from what I understand, it would have to go through other avenues like a ballot vote or the state legislature. But I also do know that a few other states are considering similar moves. And again, using this example of vaping illnesses as an impetus and saying this is a public health emergency. Again, I think it goes to a larger frustration with teen vaping in general and the background that this is already happening in. Last year, for the first time in 2 decades, teen tobacco use went up, according to a CDC survey. And so that's kind of, to a lot of public health experts, they're seeing sort of this progress that's been steadily made over the years being erased.
Michael, as a physician, what's your assessment of the CDC advisory to people who vape? And also, when you look at what Michigan did this week in terms of banning, at least temporarily, the sale of flavored e-cigarettes, how do you see that rolling out?
Well, first of all, in terms of the CDC communication, as Sarah said, it was really vague. They came out and they basically told people, if you're worried about this, don't vape. They happened to mention that many of the cases involved THC, but they didn't actually make a very clear recommendation saying, look, you know, kids out there, do not vape marijuana, in very clear terms. And what we know from risk communication in public health emergencies is that messages that are vague are not actionable. People do not pay attention to them. You have to be specific in your message, and the more specific you are, the more likely it is that people are going to act on that. So I think the CDC just has not been clear enough in tying this to vaping marijuana. And because of that, unfortunately, I think kids are just not going to listen. They're not going to get the message. As far as the Michigan flavored e-cigarette ban is, I think it's a terrible policy. And the reason why I think it's a terrible policy is because from a public health perspective, it really makes no sense to ban electronic cigarettes, but to leave real cigarettes on the market. You know, cigarettes are still killing 400,000 people a year. It's still the leading cause of preventable death in the U.S. And there are over 2.5 million ex-smokers who are relying on vaping products to remain off of cigarettes. And so what this is going to do is actually drive many, many smokers in Michigan, or ex-smokers, to go back to smoking. Vapers in Michigan who are using flavored electronic cigarettes to stay off smoking, it's just going to be easier for them. They're not going to drive across the state border, you know, to get e-cigarettes. And they can't even buy them online. So many of them are going to go back to smoking. And that's going to be a disaster from a public health perspective.
Michael Siegel is a physician and public health researcher at the Boston University School of Public Health. And Sarah Overmall is a drug and tobacco policy reporter at Politico. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.